Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Welcome to the serialized audiobook of The All-Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. The All-Pro is also available as an ebook, a paperback, and as an ad-free, unabridged audiobook. For links to purchase any version, visit scottsigler.com/theallpro, one word, no spaces, or find it at scottsigler.com/books.
December 2683. How much football had he watched in the past 6 months? Too much. Too much experiencing what others did, not enough doing it himself. He had played 3 seasons in a row, from his Tier 3 campaign with the Raiders to the Tier 2 season with the Krakens, then straight into Tier 1. After all of that, he'd thought he wanted time off. His body had healed up within a month. That left 5 months of his body screaming at him to find a game, to run, to throw, to hit. That itch could not be scratched. He'd had to wait. But the wait was almost over. Quentin Barnes sat in a luxury box in Earth's Hudson Bay Stadium, watching 2 teams that would be his competition in just a few more weeks. The T2 Tourney Championship game. The Orbiting Death versus the Texas Earthlings. Win or lose, both of these teams were on their way to Tier 1. No teammates with him this time, no coach. He watched alone. A year ago, he'd played in this same tournament, leading the Krakens to the semifinal win that put them into Tier 1. The Krakens had finished 9-2 that year, winning the Quith Irradiated Conference en route to their promotion to the big time. Quentin watched the Orbiting Death quarterback drop back. Condor Adrian. Before Death owner Anna Villani signed him, Condor had been with the Wittock Pioneers, another team in the Quith Irradiated. People had said Condor was better than Quentin. Most people still did. But this season, Quentin would show everyone who was the best of the best. Adrian stood tall in the pocket, his flat black uniform and metal flake red helmet making him look like a perfectly posed actor on a movie poster. He calmly waited as a blitzing linebacker rushed in. Quentin recognized the linebacker, Alonzo Castro, whom Quentin had battled with in last year's T2 tourney. Adrian looked like a sitting duck, but an effortless step forward left the diving Castro grabbing only empty air. Adrian fired the ball downfield, where Colville hauled it in. Touchdown. Just like that, the Death was up 7-0. Adrian might stay in for the first quarter, but after that, he'd sit to make sure he didn't suffer an injury that might impact his Tier 1 season. The Earthlings would replace the demoted Chilich Spider Bears in the Solar Division. Quentin would only face them if both Texas and Ionath made it to the Galaxy Bowl. Highly unlikely. The OS-1 Orbiting Death, on the other hand, had replaced the Mars Planets. That put the Death in the Solar Division, the same as Ionath. The 2 teams would face off in Week 6. In last season's Tier 1 campaign, the Krakens had scraped by with a 4-8 record, needing to win their last 2 games just to stay in Tier 1. 4-8. As a 17-year-old rookie in the Purest Nation Football League, Quentin had led his team to a 5-4 record. He'd gone undefeated the next 2 seasons, 22-0 in winning a pair of PNFL championships. The season after that, the Krakens went 9-2. Then last year, 4-8. His first losing season. His last losing season. Never again would the Krakens be on the bottom of the table looking up. Never again. Quentin concentrated on watching the orbiting death defense. He'd line up against these very players in week 6. His brain cataloged thousands of bits of information about his future opponents. He watched one player in particular. Middle linebacker, Yala the Biter. Yala the Biter, who 2 seasons ago had maimed Kraken's running back Paul Pearson. Yala the Biter, who had torn open Quentin's hand and spilled his blood all over the field. Quentin had payback plan for that player. Oh yes, he did. Come and play. I'll be waiting. Book 2, The Preseason. Preseason Week 1, January 1st to January 7th, 2684.
Welcome back to the galaxy's greatest damn sports show with Dan and Akbar and Tarek the Smasher.
Welcome back, sports fans. Dan Gianni here once again to anchor the galaxy's greatest sports show, along with Akbar Smith and the legendary Hall of Fame linebacker known as Tarek the Smasher. Thanks, Dan.
Yes, Dan. Thank you for such a kind intro.
Guys, it's our favorite time of year. Giving Day?
The Feast of Bugs?
You know what time of year it is. Today is the first day of Tier 1 preseason. Teams have reported to training camp. And I'm back from the annual GFL Rules Committee meeting. Many changes are afoot.
I am not fond of the Rules Committee. Why do they keep changing such a perfect game?
Tarek, if the Rules Committee didn't change the rules, there wouldn't be a need for a committee, and hence, no jobs for them. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Akbar, what were the highlights?
Well, Dan, there's a few major issues. This is GFL Commissioner Rob Frost's 3rd year in charge. He's really trying to put his stamp on things. He's working on a major reorganization, trying to connect Tier 3 to Tier 2 the way Tier 2 is connected to Tier 1. They also approved on-field holographic replay for 2685. So not for this coming season, but for the one after that. Once that's implemented, the refs on the field can watch the play exactly as it happened in the same place it happened.
I hate replay.
Smasher, instant replay makes the games more fair.
Life is full of variables and unfairness, Dan. Sentient should handle things as they come, not complain and try to change the past.
Frost also implemented new rules on concussions. Players with concussions now have to get approved by a league doctor before they can play again, not just the team doctor.
Human brains are so fragile.
It's for the good of the players, Smasher.
A real football player knows how to play with pain.
Pain? We're not talking about just pain here, Smasher. We're talking about players' health, brain damage, their very lives.
If you aren't prepared to lay down your life for your team, you don't belong in the game.
Hey, hard for me to argue with a Hall of Fame linebacker. I'm just a schlub with a microphone. Akbar, how about the big question? How about the salary cap?
Froze finally got that one through. Next year, for the 2685 season, the salary cap goes into place.
A salary cap goes against the basic principles of free trade. If someone wants to pay a sentient to perform a service, he should be allowed to pay whatever the market will bear.
Come on, Tarek. That means what it's meant for decades. The teams with the most money lock up the best players. Teams like the Toe Pirates, the Wabash Wolfpack, the Hetone Holewalkers, they've always had more revenue and hence get the best talent, which means they win more games and more championships, which brings in more money, and the cycle continues. The rich get richer, the poor get relegated.
The Themela Dreadnoughts don't spend as much as everyone else, yet they win games.
True, but look at the Mars planets. Last year, they were the smallest market in Tier 1. They've been promoted 3 times in the past 12 seasons and relegated just as many times. They always start the season strong, but their limited finances means they don't have any roster depth. As soon as their starters get injured, they can't compete. The Ionath Krakens could fall into that same trap. They have very little depth on defense.
And the Krakens already lost more defensive depth. Ionath backup defensive end Ben Ataru was signed by the Orbiting Death, and backup right cornerback Stanish retired due to pregnancy. But that is how it goes in the GFL. You lose players, you replace players. In the Quith Concordia, Dan, we believe in survival of the fittest. There are no rules in evolution. Sports and business should be the same way.
Frost wants to make sure all teams in Tier 1 have the same amount of salary to share among their rosters. Starting in 2685, each team has a maximum of 128 mega credits per season to spend on players' salaries. Whoa, that's a chunk of change. What about Tier 2? A little less. They can spend a max of 110 mega credits. Fro set the Tier 1 minimum player salary at 1.2 mega credits.
1.2 million? Some key players are making that right now.
And that brings up the huge issue of players in the last year of the current deal. This is known as a contract year, and there are some stars that are looking at just that. Ryan Nosek, for example. He's in the last year of a four-season deal with the Isis Ice Storm. And how about Frank Zimmer? The living legend is in a contract year, but he missed several games last season with his seventh concussion. After this season, will the Tow Pirates pay him the money given to the league's other top quarterbacks?
Which, of course, brings the conversation back to a contract year player making league minimum, Quentin Barnes of the Ionath Krakens.
You have to wonder if Greedock the Splithead signing Barnes to league minimum is going to wind up biting Greedock in the ass, Dan. Barnes can't be happy with that.
Especially when you consider that Don Pine makes five times as much for sitting on the bench. Even the backup quarterback, Yitzhak Goldman, makes more than Barnes.
You're kidding me.
I do not kid, Dan.
But how did you find that out? Salaries are supposed to be confidential.
I have my sources.
If Barnes plays well in the upcoming season, his free agency drama is going to be a zoo. A zoo? What do you mean?
A zoo is a park-like area in which live animals are kept in cages or large enclosures for public exhibition, Dan.
Ah, Smasher, come on.
And I have other news as well. My sources tell me that Barnes is considering agent Danny Lundy.
Oh, what I wouldn't give to be in the same room when Danny Lundy starts talking contract with Greedock the Splithead. Hey, Tarrant, do you think this means Barnes will sign long-term with Ionath, or is he as good as gone after this season?
It is unknown at this time. As I have said before, you humans are obsessed with finances. Danny Lundy is known for negotiating large deals. Considering that the Mars Planets, the Bartell Waterbugs, and the Tow Pirates have all said they are going to court Barnes, Lundy would have considerable leverage to get that big deal.
He'll be courted harder than a princess with a giga credit dowry, Akbar. Let's see what the fans think of this. Line 3 from Wilson 6. You're on the space. Go.
Yeah, I agree Barnes is a hot property. I think my Jang Atom Smashers will pick him up. If we keep Schweitzer as our QB, we're gonna get relegated.
Schweitzer has to overcome his injury problems. He can't run. He's like a big spider snack out there, just waiting to get eaten.
Can we not refer to players as food items?
But he is.
Makes me glad I'm not a slow-footed quarterback, Tarrant. Line 2 from Clipthick. You're on the space. Go!
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
An excerpt from Earth, Birthplace of Sentience, written by Zippy the Voracious, from Chapter 1, titled The Breeding Ground. If you trace all lines back to ancestral species, no planet has produced more forms of sentient life than Earth. Currently controlled by the Planetary Union, Earth is the evolutionary home of humans. Over the last millennia, humans have proven to be busy creatures, giving rise to at least 4 additional biological species, as well as at least 2 artificial species. At least may not sound very empirical, but there is good reason for this vague term. The Prawat race was first discovered in 2424, but it took almost another century before scientists theorized that the Prawat originated on Earth in 2015. While unproven, most exobiologists now agree that the Prawat were created on Earth, then subsequently exterminated. Because this process of creation and extinction likely happened once at the hands of humanity, we must leave open the strong possibility that other races created on Earth remain as yet unknown. The human races. Humanity's phenotypical variations fill the galaxy. Subspecies abound. Humans typically range in adult size from 0.9 to 2.4 meters. The Empire Bureau of Species Interaction places the average height of an adult human male at 1.8 meters, average weight at about 79 kilograms. Natural skin pigmentation ranges widely, including absolute white as well as shades of pink, blue, purple, tan, yellow, brown, and black. If you factor in cosmetic pigmentation alteration, human color variants number in the hundreds. This text, however, focuses not on phenotypical human variants, but rather distinct species descended from or created by humanity. 2 races fall under this definition, Homo pandus and Homo aquus. Homo pandus are also known by the common name Heavy G. Homo pandus originated on Vosor III, a world currently controlled by the League of Planets. Vosor III's high gravity makes it difficult for humans to function for any length of time. Considering the mineral wealth on Vosor III, workers were needed that could live on the surface without the artificial gravity found in that world's urban centers. A genetic engineering program by League scientists produced Homo pandus, the largest of the humanoid species. The average Homo pandus male stands at 1.9 meters tall and weighs 156 kilograms, significantly larger than the average human. Homo pandus also differs phenotypically, with denser bones and muscle, longer arm length, and shorter legs relative to the overall body than in humans.
Because Homo pondus can live and work anywhere that humans can, this minority can be found all over the galaxy. Homo aquus is one of two species of sentient aquatic earthlings. Homo aquus is also known by the common name of amphibs. Because Homo aquus can breathe in both air and water, it boasts the fastest growing humanoid population. Numbers continue to explode on Earth, Tower, and other planets with large bodies of water. The average Homo aquus male stands 1.85 meters tall and weighs 100 kilograms. They are more streamlined than Homo sapiens, with leaner muscle mass and longer bones. Exobiologists also theorize that there may be subvariants of Homo aquus. Considering the surface area covered by water on Earth and Tower alone, there are many undeveloped regions that have little or no competition. Theories abound of Homo orca, a variant of Homo aquus, thought to be a brutal predator, some 2.5 meters in length and weighing an estimated 200 kilograms. The second aquatic earthling species, Delphinus albites, is better known as the dolphin. The only remaining species of dolphin left on Earth, Delphinus albites achieved early population growth due to being Earth's first sentient aquatic species. There is much controversy surrounding the actions of that species following the genetic augmentation that gave rise to sentience, notably the genocide of all other large aquatic species on the planet. The average Delphinus albites male is 2.1 meters long and weighs 136 kilograms. Aside from the modifications to their brain composition and tongue muscles, which are adjusted for limited human speech, they are largely unchanged from their ancestral form of Delphinus capensis. Mechanical prosthetics allow dolphins to walk on land and survive indefinitely out of water, enabling them to be part of other sentient cultures. A strange controversy exists where some scientists claim that dolphins are not truly sentient, but rather a more intelligent version of the animal they once were. Professor Allison Wren, author of Life in the Milky Way Galaxy, is the leading proponent of this theory. Wren says that dolphins are no more sentient than chimpanzees or other primates that are, quote, taught to wear clothes, use rudimentary communication skills, and perform complicated tricks, end quote. This stance, of course, meets with outrage from dolphin groups. Professor Finney McGee, a leading dolphin scientist, is well known for saying, quote, if Wren thinks I'm a trained animal, she can kiss my blowhole, end quote. Then we have the Earth-created artificial species. Humanity has created two major forms of artificial life. Many laymen think that current levels of technology should make it easy to create mechanical, sentient life. This could not be farther from the truth. Creating artificial intelligence has proven to be an extremely difficult affair. Even when scientists have succeeded and then repeated their own processes step by step, they have been unable to replicate those successes. While humans and other biological species can and have created intelligence from scratch, the actual set of parameters that make something sentient has yet to be discovered. In artificial life, much like biological life, success seems to be more accident than method. Before these artificial life forms became sentient, life was classified in three domains: archaea, bacteria, and eukarya. The artificial life forms listed below are so different from what we know that scientists assigned a fourth kingdom, Factitia, to encompass them. Factitia is broken down into phylums: Petes, which includes artificial sentience existing in forms that move physically, like biological sentience, and Phasmatis, which includes sentience that exist in electronic form. The race known by the common name Prawat is in the phylum Petes. The Prawat have started several wars against biological races. They attacked the Rewals in 2438, which was the first known interstellar combat. In 2456, the Prawat Jihad attempted to exterminate the Kaluko race, until the League of Planets announced that it possessed a secret preserve of Kaluko and had saved the race from extinction, most governments thought the Prawat had succeeded in genocide. At the beginning of their life cycle, Prawat are a collective organism. In later stages, they become large, multicellular animals. Their physiology and life cycle is too complex to explain here, so please see Chapter 7 for specifics. As an artificially created race, the Prowit have long been denied universal acceptance as sentient. Recent encounters with the form of the species known as explorers, however, have eliminated doubts for all but a handful of scientists, and we should point out, all exobiologists in the Purist Nation, who claim that because man, not the High One, created the Prowit, it is impossible for the Prowit to actually be sentient. There is no average size of a Prowit, as they can take many forms. Finally, we have the Fictitia phasmatis, which is not a genus species name, but rather a kingdom phylum name that represents most forms of electronic artificial intelligence. Members of this phylum are so varied in form and concept that each sentient has its own specifications of class, order, family, genus, and species. The first truly sentient artificial intelligence was created by a League of Planets scientists and was, as is often the case, an accident. League of Planets scientist Kendra Stanzak attempted to upload her consciousness into digital form. That effort failed, but created what was known as Virus 444, a computer program that devastated League computer systems. Other efforts to upload the human consciousness into digital form resulted in the creation of new entities, some of which exist to this day in multiple instances.
You have been listening to The All-Pro, Season 4 of the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by Scott Sigler. Produced by Ariok Morningstar with post-production by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on Scott and more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song The Kids Are Coming For You by the band Super Weapon. You're trying to say
hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.